Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the favorite edition of the week for the Three Martini Lunch. It's the beloved Friday edition. Jim Garrity is off today. Daniel Foster, news editor at National Review Online, is here in his place, very capably, I might add. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Dan is always good, bad, and crazy, and as usual, scraping for the good news. But we did actually find good news today. This has not only been happening in the state of Virginia, but now I think we're north of 20 states that have done this, and this is great for the pro-life cause. And abortion rights opponents, this is the way The Hill terms it, are welcoming a Virginia bill to block the state's Obamacare insurance exchange from offering plans that cover abortions. Virginia has elected to have a federally run insurance exchange where residents lacking coverage will be able to select from a variety of qualified health plans starting in October. The Virginia amendment states that no qualified health insurance plans on the exchanges shall cover abortions regardless of whether such coverage is provided through the plan or is offered as a separate optional rider thereto. There are exceptions for rape, incest, or a threat to the life of the mother. But, Dan, this is great. This is one of the things we've been worried about ever since Bart Stupak collapsed at the very finish line there in the Obamacare debate. And it's good to know that at least in almost half the states now that the taxpayers are going to be protected from this.
Yeah, it is good news, and it's an extension to the states. I mean, if Obamacare is going to extend traditionally, you know, state-based powers to the federal government, then it's good that at least there's the states trying to mimic Hyde Amendment-style care that taxpayer dollars don't go to funding abortions. But, you know, even though it's good news, I would say do not be surprised, especially if a couple years down the road as President Obama's on the way out, do not be surprised if you see his Justice Department go after this sort of thing and suggest that perhaps it's not in keeping with the comprehensive nature of the promise for care in Obamacare, or find some other way to challenge it. You see what they're doing even now with the religious conscience stuff as it relates to Obamacare. So I would not be surprised to see them challenge this sort of thing in court or somebody challenge it on their behalf. So you got to keep your eyes open for that.
Yeah, I think that probably will happen. I wouldn't be even surprised if they just decided they wouldn't accept it at some point with the way that this administration does business. But that's very good news. Well done, Bob McDonnell. We praised the Virginia state government for doing the photo IDs earlier in the week. So a couple of months after we pasted him pretty good for his transportation tax hike and not doing more to solve the Bill Bowling, Ken Cuccinelli issue, things are looking brighter in Virginia. And for those of us who live here, that's really good news. On to the really bad news now. And that's the unemployment report that came out from the Labor Department today for the month of March. The headline shows that overall unemployment fell from 7.7% to 7.6%. But that not only doesn't tell the whole story, Dan, it doesn't even begin to tell the story, because only 88,000 jobs were added in March. 190,000 was kind of the ballpark estimate, so well short of that. At least 500,000 people gave up looking for work, and according to CNS News, really from the end of February to the end of March, it's 663,000. Government unemployment rate, though, at a robust 3.6%. And interestingly, according to another government report, nearly as many people added to disability rolls at the federal level than got a job in the month of March. So if you think we're headed in the right direction, you might want to recalculate.
Yeah, so, you know, Jonah Goldberg had a great column and a thought-provoking column this week on disability. And we actually saw some really smart responses, too, especially from a disability lawyer who was also a lifelong conservative and NR subscriber on the other side of the issue. But I would suggest everybody check that out. And it is a depressing fact, no matter how you come down on that, that there were more people added to disability than obtained jobs. I think I read that labor participation is at its lowest point since 1979, which right. is a great sign of a recovery. 1979 was such a strong year. One thing that I've been harping on and nobody seemed to ever care about at the time or now is that the payroll tax hike that came at the end of the year was going to have pretty serious economic impact. Everybody knew it was going to have a pretty serious economic impact. The Republicans didn't prioritize saving it. In fact, what little attention there was paid to it, there was pretty good debate on both sides of it. Keep the payroll tax cut or let it go. Certainly a lot of Democrats wanted to let it go because it messed with the illusion that everybody was contributing to Social Security and getting back what they contributed. And they thought that was dangerous in the long term to mess with the illusion of Social Security. And I think they were right about that. But, you know, I was harping at the time that this was going to be bad and that Republicans should have fought harder to keep the payroll tax cut, since it represented a regressive tax hike, which Democrats are supposed to hate, impacted the poor way more than the rich, and it impacted 100 million taxpayers. And I think, you know, we're going to start to see the fruits of that in a little regression, if not another recession, over the next, you know, 6 months to a year, which is going to be bad news for everybody.
Well, not to worry, though. The president's budget coming out only asks for another $500 billion in tax hikes as he goes about trying to win over votes with cuts to Social Security and Medicare benefit increases. So
he's smart. You know, he's smart, though, because he's figured out that, you know, maybe you can't get Republicans to raise taxes $5 trillion one time, but you can get them to raise them $500 billion 10 times. You know, that seems to be his approach. $500 billion at a time. Every time there's an opportunity to compromise, just give me $500 billion more. Next thing you know, we're at 1968 levels.
Well, the nice thing about the White House reaction to this is I was expecting this full onslaught of, look what sequestration did to us, even though they added 9,000 government jobs in March. And that's that they're just going bowling forward with their foreheads down, saying that the economy's still improving, just because that top number, misleadingly takes us down to 7.6%. So I'd much rather hear that explanation from the White House than them trying to explain that sequestration somehow.
Yeah, there is a minor good martini, a little chaser on that front, because you're starting to hear a lot of groups that depend on federal funding, like nonprofits, some that, you know, conservatives would like, some that conservatives wouldn't. But you're starting to hear a lot of groups gripe that the White House has given up on the sequester being terrible line of attack, and they're concerned about it. So that means that's good news for us, though.
Yeah.
If they've stopped trying to make those ridiculous attacks.
That would be good news. What's not good news, and this is the second bad martini, we kind of billboarded a crazy, but, it's Kim Jong-un and it's North Korea, so there's certainly a crazy element to it. Nuclear annihilation. That's our second bad martini for the second straight day.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, that's all. Because now, in addition to the fact that they're pointing missiles and they've listed their four American targets and all this stuff, this is according to the Daily Mail in Britain. All government embassies have been instructed to evacuate staff from Pyongyang after dictator Kim Jong-un warned that he could not guarantee the safety of foreigners. The rogue communist state also issued a deadline of April 10th to every government that is represented in North Korea in a dramatic new escalation of the nuclear crisis. And so, Dan, we're seeing him go further than his saber rattling has gone before. It's still a long way away from actually launching nuclear weapons. But if he is bluffing, the bluff is going to much greater heights than we've seen in the past.
Yeah, and it's a weird bluff unless he has some, you know, some de-escalation planned as well. The one of the advantages of, brainwashing and enslaving an entire nation of people and exerting exacting control over every single aspect of their lives is that if you tell them a lie that gets you into a mess, you can just tell them an even bigger lie that gets you out of a mess. So maybe the regime has some sort of exit strategy for this, what we hope is BS escalation in mind. But the not all too likely scenario, but certainly possible and frightening scenario, it's just that, you know, after his granddad and his dad ran the country, Kim Jong-un was just raised to believe his own BS. And he just, they did too good a job with him by the third generation. And he thinks that the fantasy land created by the Kims in their own minds is reality. And, he's young and trigger happy and itching for a fight with the West, in which case I wish him the best of luck.
Well, there's only one thing that's going to solve this. The Michael Jordan basketball didn't work. The Dennis Rodman trip clearly didn't work. Scottie Pippen, it's the only way to go here. As long as we're going with 90s Bulls, I think he's probably a better bet than, Steve Kerr or Luke Longley.
I was going to say Tony Kukoc. I think he's probably the dark horse here, the X factor. Or maybe, Horace Grant. Get Horace over there.
Who might actually work? Phil Jackson. You know, he's got a way of just finding ways to win.
That's true.
Phil Jackson has a way of getting things done. But seriously, we hope that there is a three martini lunch come Monday and that there haven't been any nuclear missile launches towards the U.S. or anybody else for that matter. So, Dan, in that light, have a great weekend and we'll hopefully talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
Daniel Foster of National Review Online. In for Jim Garrity, who will be back on Monday. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join Jim and me on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.